Go.
Hey, hello and welcome back everybody and back to episode 3 of the Kubuntu podcast. Great that you could join us. My name is Rick Timmis.
My name is Ovidiu Bogdan Florin.
My name is Aaron Honeycutt.
Hey, good to have you with us guys. Nice hats, nice hats.
Thanks.
We can have a little bit more of a chat about that in a minute. So let me explain to the viewers that are joining us or joining us on the podcast what we're going to be doing in tonight's show. Ovidiu and Aaron are just back from Academy that took place in Spain, and they're going to tell us a lot more about that. Got a little bit of an apology from Ronnie at Full Circle Magazine. Unfortunately, circumstances have taken it that Ronnie can't make it to be with us here for this show, but we have rescheduled that for September. So in September's show, we're really hoping that Ronnie can join us and tell us more about Full Circle Magazine. So that's going to give us more time to focus on all the good stuff that's been happening in Kubuntu and KDE over at Academy in Spain. So I'm just trying to think who to start with, actually. Maybe I'm going to start with Ovidiu for tonight and to kick off there. So, Academy, where was it held? What was going on? And tell us a little bit about your experience there, Ovidiu.
So, should I start explaining again what Academy is?
Well, maybe tell us where it was, first of all.
Okay, Academy took place this year in A Coruña, Spain, which is in the far, in the upper, northwest of Spain, right at the edge of the country. That's where it took place. I don't know how many people were there, but there were quite a bunch. I approximate from the group photo, I don't know, 50 or more than 50, and that's only in the group photo. People came and left before and after the group photo, so yeah, at least 100 or 200 people.
Okay, 200 people. So it sounds like it was busy, yeah.
Quite busy, yeah. Okay, I want to show you guys this hat. It's an awesome KDE hat which I bought from the booth at Academy. It's great quality. Nice. Awesome KDE logo.
And I'm really sad because I haven't got one. Can I get one online anywhere?
Yeah, sure. I'll just have to find the site. I don't remember the name of the site. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. And from there, anyone can buy hats and even some other T-shirts or other goodies that were on sale there.
Okay, that sounds really good. That sounds really, really good. So, good stuff. Okie cokie. And how did you get there, Ovidiu? Did you drive or fly?
Well, I was lucky enough to get funding from the Ubuntu community. And from that funding, I went together with my brother to Academy. We traveled by car, then by plane, then by plane again, then by taxi. And eventually, after about, I don't know, 12 hours, we got there. So we had to go from my seat, from Arad to Budapest, from Budapest to Madrid, from Madrid to A Coruña, and from A Coruña airport to the hotel. So it was quite a long trip. We arrived at around midnight at the hotel.
Wow, okay. So everybody was partying there.
When we got there, everybody was gathered around outside and with beers and all kinds of other drinks, and they were discussing everything from Kubuntu and KDE related to non-related.
Was it a good party? Were there some good parties there? Did you have some good parties?
Well, there were quite a bunch almost every night. The hotel where we stayed, the name is Rialta, had six buildings besides the main building. And me and my brother and many other developers were in the first building. Aaron was in the third, I think. Yeah, the third one. And I don't know, I think we took almost half, at least half of the hotel, if not more, only for Academy. So in each building and on each floor there was a common room, and in building one, floor one, common room, we used to call it 1.1, the room 1.1, building one, floor one. Every night there was a party. People came there with laptops and a lot of beer and wine and I don't know what other drinks they bought. So they coded. They coded, they programmed until they couldn't program anymore.
Wow, okay, that sounds like pretty good fun.
Almost every night.
Okay, so 12 hours for you to get there, arrived late on the Friday. Now, of course, obviously you were traveling from the eastern side of Europe, but Aaron, you had to get yourself across the Atlantic, coming all the way from Florida. Is that right, man?
Yeah, that I only had to drive to the airport in Miami and then fly like 8 hours to Lisbon, and then from Lisbon take another plane to La Corona for an hour and a half. But I left at like Friday at 5 o'clock my time, 5 p.m. Okay. And then got there Saturday, I think 11:30 somewhere in the morning, which they would not let me check in at that time.
Oh, because you were a little bit too early. Was checking in the afternoon? You have to wait till the afternoon to check in.
I think it was at like 1 o'clock the check in.
Mm-hmm. So the schedule was pretty weird. I don't know.
They let me keep my suitcase in the office, so I just went to the venue, and then came back around 8 o'clock, I think, around there, 9 o'clock, and then just checked in then.
Cool. So you missed Friday's party then, Aaron. You weren't quite there to get involved in the first party. Were you pretty tired? Because obviously the time zone changes for you will be quite significant. So it kind of throw all your body clock out of sync, or did that not hit you till you got back?
It got me off a little bit because I had woken up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and then I didn't go to sleep till Saturday at like 9.
Yeah.
Their time.
He had some jet lag.
You're caught on camera, man. Caught on camera, snoozing. Look at him.
Yeah. I had like 2 hours of sleep over 36 hours, something like that. I did not want to sleep anywhere except, I guess, there.
Okay, so I tell you what, guys. Before we get into the details of what's been going on and who was there and some of the other stuff, just off pat, give me marks out of 10, starting with you, Aaron. Marks out of 10 for your experience at Academy. How many did you give it out of 10?
It's over 9,000.
Over 9,000 out of 10? Oh, my
joke.
That's even like more megalomaniac than Spinal Tap turning the amps up to 11. Okay, and Ovidio. So, how out of 10, how many are you gonna give it?
Yeah, I can't beat Aaron's score, so.
So you're gonna have to go the same way. Well, I have to say, so I was following you guys obviously in our Telegram channel, which we're kind of just getting that working at the moment, and seeing what, and I had this real sense of what was going on with that, you know, seeing different people chatting and making things, and I just felt so left out. I just thought, you know, why have I not planned to get myself organized to be there and to get over to Academy? So you guys are going to have to tell me a little bit more about what was going on. So what's the main themes that's going on there? What's sort of happening on a day-to-day basis? How does it function, Ovidio?
Okay, so Academy is structured like this. The first 2 days of Academy is just talks. People present the current state and some future planning of a few projects, how many we can fit in 2 days. That's for the first 2 days. And then after those are done, that's usually Saturday and Sunday. And after those two are done, following are 5 days of BOF meetings. BOF, Birds of Feather. These are meetings where developers come together to talk about a specific topic. They want something that they have in common. For example, we had BOF on translation. We had BOF on Plasma. We had BOF on KDevelop. We had BOFs on visual design, on KD Evolve, on legal, and all kinds of stuff. And according to tradition, since some time ago, there started a new tradition during Academy. 1 or 2 days are reserved to be Kubuntu days. So days in which people gather around to talk about how is Kubuntu going on, how are they working, how are stuff continuing in Kubuntu. And this happened, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday and Thursday, because Tuesday was the day trip.
And were those full days?
Wednesday
was two full days dedicated to Kubuntu.
We had a room dedicated for a few hours to just Kubuntu discussions.
Actually, kind of a day and a half, because Wednesday only half a day was reserved for BOFs. The second half was the day trip on Wednesday.
Excellent. Whoa, that's really, really cool.
Yeah. So this is how Academy is structured. Usually, there's also some day trips, from what I understand. And besides that, people can just gather around and go visit the place. For example, we had free entry at some of the museums in A Coruña. I didn't visit. I wanted to code, so yeah.
So now, obviously, it's not all, you know, so we've got the Birds of a Feather meetings, but it's not all partying and having fun and so on and so forth, because there are some serious, there are many serious aspects to bringing all the developers together like this.
There's something I didn't mention. On room 1.1, so first building, first floor, common room, people came with laptops and drinks. But in room 1.2, that's building 1, second floor common room, people just came with laptops. So in the first building, at least, that's what I was, at least in the first building, both rooms were full of people with laptops, coding. In the first floor, they were also partying, but on the second floor, they were just coding. What I said about this was after the whole day finished, so this was only during the evening.
So how's that coordination working then? I mean, well, better question. So on the on one of those floors, just choose one, how many people in that room coding? Guess, rough estimate.
At least 20 in each.
So how is that group of 20 coders who have just arrived together, how are they coordinating to be able to work together? Are they working on a sprint?
They gather in smaller groups, and If there's a group in this corner, there's a group in this corner, and they each work on their own thing. The problem was that in both rooms we had only 4 or 5 power sockets, and we had to switch.
I know one night me and Jonathan were just switching back and forth to see outlets who has the more charge in their battery.
During those coding sessions, what kind of things were getting done? Was it bug fixes or new features or
basically just continuing what they've talked on BOFs? So the BOF was the BOF had a room in the university allocated for a certain amount of time. After that, people would go to other BOFs to talk to other people about other projects. But after the day was finished, we would just gather around in some place. Not everybody gathered in the common room. Some people coded outside. Some people just stayed in the room, in their rooms. And after, in the evening, either they had fun and started communicating and socializing with people, or they just continued working on their projects. What they couldn't really do during the BOFs, because then only we mostly talked about, okay, this is the current status, these are the problems, this is our roadmap. how are we handling this? And how are we going to work? What's most important? What's the direction we want to go in?
Ah, okay, right. So somebody is coordinating, basically looking at the roadmap and taking, let's say it was Amarok or Dolphin or something like this, or K-Develop, for example. So, well, did I know you're very keen on K-Develop. Did you attend the K-Develop BOF? Did you get involved with the development team at all of you?
Of course, I couldn't miss that.
So let me just get into the detail about that a little bit. So is there a roadmap for K-Develop, and what? How did you as a group decide what you were going to work on, and what did you work on while you were there?
So while I was there, I met finally face to face. I met more, but two people who I want to mention are Million Wolf, and Aleix Pol. I've met them both for the first time. And awesome guys. They're awesome guys. They helped me with a lot of things. And we've talked mostly about, okay, this is K-Develop. This is where we want to go with it. I raised some issues about, okay, let's make sure K-Develop also works on Windows, because this is how we move people to free software. We incrementally show them, hey, these are the alternatives which you can use. So, and that's an issue I raised, and okay, we're going to do that as soon as the CI is working as the best. And as you can see on my blog, I've gotten myself into a few tasks to fix a few things in K-Develop. And also I've talked with and started working with Aleix on some plugins for K-Develop. One for developing QML applications for Android, and another one, which we've mostly just talked about and experimented a little, about making applications for Plasma Mobile, which we haven't talked about yet.
Okay, right. Let's get on the list then of Plasma Mobile and things to talk about. Okay, so I'm starting to get the picture now of how it's coming together and where the value is and what's going on there. I must note for you as well, I need to talk to you about K-Develop, about a feature I was looking for the other day, but we'll talk about that another time. I'll keep it secret because I think it could be a killer feature.
We should let Aaron tell us more about what he did in the VDG buffs, because he was there all day long, in both days.
VDG. So, start with VDG then, Aaron. What is that?
The VDG is a virtual design group who are responsible for redoing the Breeze theme and the icon set that Plasma 5 highlights very, very well. As well, and some of the people do the wallpapers too that we're seeing for 5.3 and 5.4, the new one coming out.
Okay.
The buff, we're going over how we want to interact with Plasma Mobile, what kind of interaction, how we interact with the system, and some design cues that we're going to be that they're going to be initiating and giving to developers to implement.
Yeah, okay. So I saw some of the mock-ups. In fact, Andreas was just with us. Andreas Del Sarto was just with us in the podcast, just sort of quietly viewing. But I saw some of the mock-ups that we've done of the Plasma Mobile on Google Plus. And I was actually sorry. I didn't know anything about that was going on and that was being worked on. Apart from, I knew Scarlett had mentioned that she was going to start putting together a CI integration on Jenkins for building the ArmHF and mobile stuff.
Have you seen it running?
I haven't seen it running, no. I only saw the mock-ups. I was under the assumption that we hadn't actually got it properly running yet, that we would just got it on mock-ups. Hang on, let's switch to this screen.
Okay, this is a screenshot of the notification bar. Not a screenshot, a photo of the screen.
Okay.
A photo of the screen, and this is the notification. As you can see, things are not quite aligned yet because it's still just a prototype, so it's in very, very early development. You can see that is the same layout as in the desktop Plasma, the same icons, the same logic. That's one thing. What else? Here's the main screen. I hope you can see that. Here's the main screen with a calendar widget opened.
Okay.
That's another interesting thing. And to show you that it's actually Linux running in there. Oh, by the way, it's running on Wayland.
Okay.
And another thing to show you, this is console running top. Wait, sorry. This is console running top on Plasma Mobile.
Nice.
So, as you can see, we have the keyboard down there. Let me
arrange this. Yes, I can see that,
and,
yeah.
That little blue circle in the middle, that's a trackpad. Did I say that?
Okay, yeah.
You know that little red button on Lenovo laptops?
That's right.
Okay, about system application.
So why is there a trackpad when it's a touch screen?
Because you can also have a mouse. Yeah.
Why do you want to?
As I told you, it's still in very early development. As you can see, the camera shows everything upside down. A minor glitch, so.
I think the trackpad's there because so you can easily move between words and letters when you're entering commands and messages and such. It seems to me.
Okay.
That's how some keyboards have arrow left and right arrows, so you can move between words and letters.
So you guys in the VDG group, you'd have been talking about those UI ideas and how the UI should work and the layouts and what the user experience should be like for Plasma Mobile. Am I right, Aaron?
Yep. And we were talking about implications of tying in the KDE Connect with your laptop, hooking up external the monitors, keyboards, mouse, what should happen, lots of different things in that nature.
No, a bit more detail. Tell me more. This sounds like a Plasma Mobile convergent desktop type device. I've seen KDE Connect at work, and it's ace. Really like it. I would love to have a mobile device that I could just rock up to my desk and be using KDE on my monitor, and then out I go, and it's on my mobile phone. And I know this is what obviously Ubuntu are working towards with Unity. But so is that the aim? Was that part of the objective? Was that part of the discussion, Aaron? Where's it going? What did you take from the VDG group in terms of the direction of development for this?
I think it's very heading towards convergence. There's talks about using KDE Connect and your desktop and your phone to do two-factor authorization. There was discussions about what would happen if you plugged in a monitor to your phone. Would it split the view? Would it do dual panel? Would it span across it? How would it handle connecting the Bluetooth keyboards? There was lots of discussions. There was a discussion about doing a new lock screen for Plasma 5.4.
For desktop?
Yeah, for the desktop. To doing a custom, making your very custom, an avatar for your login, and kind of use that as a way to identify if that's your real user and not entering your password into a false, trap to get your root password. Very, very interesting stuff coming in for Plasma 4, and then convergence at the end with mobile.
That's a really clever idea about the avatar icon. I don't know if you've come across Steve Gibson of GRC Research, but he's been trying to promote this thing he calls Squirrel, which is two-factor authentication using your mobile phone and like a Q code that is displayed on the screen, and obviously displays on the screen, you bring the phone to the device, and so now the device that's displaying it on the screen knows it's you because your authentication is on the phone. So it's that kind of model, isn't it? That kind of idea?
It's more of a, like making your own unique avatar that you would like set for your login, and then you would tell, okay, that's me. I trust this. I put in my password. and you can identify if it's a wrong avatar. No, that's not me. I'm not putting my password because I'm not giving you my root access or anything like that.
Got you. Okay.
That's what I gathered from it.
So it sounds exciting. So what devices, I mean, those weren't just still screenshots you had of it. That was Plasma 5 running on the device. What device was that?
That was the Nexus 5, which is the device that's right now officially supported. So that's officially. What I mean is that's the main target
it's
phone.
Development device.
Yeah, that's the main development device that we're working on right now. But someone from the community already managed to make a port on OnePlus One. It's still less stable, and I haven't tested it yet, so I don't want to make any statements on it since I don't know exactly. All I know is what I've read on the KDE forums.
I like to give a shout out to Mario Grip, that's his IRC name, who did the Ubuntu Touch port that Torque is based off of.
Yeah. Okay.
On the page.
Since we're here, guys, we can play the interview.
Yeah, okay.
During Academy, we took a few interviews of a few core people from KDE, but only a few. We haven't managed to take from everybody. Everybody's important. So, since we only recently got back home, me and also Aaron and Rick, we haven't managed to finish video editing those interviews. So one is done, the rest are in the works, and the problem is because we're still using Hangouts, I can only show you this in a very non-likable way. Well, I don't like this, but I'm going to show it to you anyhow.
We're going to hack it together, we'll have to make the best of it with what we're using. So go ahead, a video, play the video.
Okay, where is the window? What happened? I want this window. Okay. And I'm gonna hit play.
Hello, I'm here with David Edmondson and Martin Grasslin. Have I pronounced them right?
Good enough.
Okay. Can you guys please introduce yourselves and tell us a bit about who you are and what you're working on in KDE?
You've just introduced us. I'm David Edmondson, still, and I work on Plasma, mostly on your desktop side.
And I'm Martin Fleslin, and I work on the Window Manager, which is used by Plasma and part of the Plasma project.
Okay, awesome. First, can you tell us more about what exactly is Plasma, and to our users to know they're using Plasma now, but let them know what it is.
So Plasma is everything that takes you from a black screen to being able to run your applications. So it's your user settings, it's being able to find your applications and switch between applications. So everything to be able to use applications and get stuff done.
Okay, awesome. And can you tell us what is Qwin and why don't we know what Qwin is?
So Qwin is the window manager, which means it's responsible for moving your windows and painting your windows.
Making them wobbly.
Making them wobbly, very important, or putting them on a cube. And you normally don't know anything about Qwin, that process exists at all, because you're not supposed to. It's just something which runs in the background and does all the things for you. But we don't expose the name in the user interface or anything like that. And the only way to know that it exists is if you see Dr. Conky for the crash dialogue. So, yeah, ideally you don't know that it exists, because if you know, then it means it crashed for you.
Okay, so if you know what it is, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the flexibility of Plasma, how it's portable from one device to another?
Sure. So, particularly in regards to the shell, which is where you have your widgets and your panels and such, everything is loaded from plugins and plugins and plugins, plugins which load plugins, and those plugins load files. And everything is interchangeable, mostly using QML, which is just JavaScript like language, a bit like HTML, and we can just swap those files out. So you can just replace a file, suddenly your panel's at the top and it's fixed and you can't move it, and then you can use it on a mobile. Or maybe we can just, instead of drawing just a wallpaper in the background, we can draw a list of your applications that are running, and that makes like an Android-style launcher. So we just swap these files around and we can load it. But we can still reuse some of these files and some of these components, so we don't have to write the network management twice.
And for more less technical users out there, that means that we can run Plasma on desktop, tablet, phone, and what else?
TV.
And on TV.
Plasma,
yeah.
TVs are quite common nowadays.
Okay.
Well, it's going back, it's more like LEDs TVs nowadays than Plasma TVs.
And that's why we need to put Plasma back on the TVs again.
True. And that's why we have a Media Center project.
Oh, yeah. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So it's reusing some of the same ideals of we use the same technology as a desktop, so we don't rewrite everything. But it plays videos, and everything's big and remote. You can navigate using a TV remote.
So the challenge with the Media Center is that everything has to be large because it's on the TV. So we have a little bit of different setup, and so we cannot directly reuse everything from the desktop because it just doesn't fit one-to-one. And so we have a dedicated shell for the Media Center, which takes care that everything navigates nicely on a big, big screen.
Huge screen.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a few more questions for you guys. There's this big Plasma mobile right now that everybody's talking about, and all the cool kids want it. Can you tell us something about it?
It's still very much in development. So if at the moment we're using a Nexus 5 as a reference device, so that means we have an image you can flash onto it, but it's very much we're using that to develop things. It's not going to be in consumers' hands for at least 12 months.
And also the development version is currently not yet ready to be a primary device. We still have to do a few more fixes before we can really start using it.
Yeah, it's not my main phone just yet.
Yeah, mine neither.
I saw that you can already make phone calls from it, you can web browse, you can open Akanadi in it and all that.
Not so sure about the Akanadi one, but yes, phone calls and web browsers work. I mean, priorities are getting your emails. Phone calls, not so much, but they work.
Well, it's kind of weird. Some people still want to phone with a phone. I mean, mostly it's about the apps. I don't get why people want to use a phone for phoning.
In fact, we want to make a feature where it just doesn't have phone calls. Just quiet mode, so you don't have to keep putting a phone inside a metal tin, which is what I do.
Okay. Can you tell us more about how people can get involved in your project?
Sure, so I've been doing all this.
Okay, so we have various places where you can get started. We have a mailing list, which is plasmadevel@kde.org.
Plasma-devel@kde.org.
Sorry. Then,
so it's devel as in developer, not as in Satan.
It's coming at the bottom of the screen now. Like, throw us in with an annotation, otherwise I look stupid.
And we have an IRC channel for those who want to use IRC. It's #plasma.
Yep, not #plasma.
Sorry. we have some work listed on todo.kde.org, for example, for the Great Wayland project, which is the base for our phone project. We have their Plasma on Wayland on todo.kde.org with many, many easy-to-use, easy-to-solve tasks. Of course, there is more than just development tasks. You could be on the firms kde.org to help us moderate, to help us support our users. You could be part of the visual design group if you're into design or into user interaction. They are also on firm.kde.org. We need translators for all the many languages KDE software ships in. So for that, it's, I think, i18n.kde.org or l10n.kde.org.
And you help Plasma simply by using it and showing more people who happen to be looking at your screen how good Plasma is.
And an obvious thing, if you have a problem with your Plasma, just report a bug on bugskde.org. That's also an awesome way to help making Plasma better. If you have problems and we don't know about it, we cannot fix them.
I also heard a rumor that a bug report on Plasma Shell takes less than 24 hours to get a reply. Is that true?
I think typically, we have people in different time zones who are very much on top of these things. Any bug report to Plasma Shell goes directly to my phone, which means it goes directly to my pocket, which means you can have direct contact with my pocket.
Okay. So also every Quinn bug goes directly in my inbox. I don't think so much to the phone because I get too many mails, but in theory it could also go to my phone.
And to Martin's pocket.
Yeah.
That's our new tagline for bugs.kde.org. Get in the developer's pocket.
Okay, guys, now I have a different kind of question for you. How do you two feel about everybody using something you create? It's something that you created that, you're using that, but you also see so many people use on a daily basis your work.
Well, I can tell you about how it was in the beginning. So when I did my first patch, that was really, really difficult because I was so afraid of breaking stuff, and I knew it goes to millions of users, like next Kubuntu release, and it's out to millions of users. So that was really scary, kind of, but you get used to it, and you have to also sometimes forget about it and live in your own bubble to not get confused about it. But in general, yeah, it's kind of awesome to know, hey, there's a deployment like the Munich project, which has 10,000 of users, and you know they use your code. That's, yeah, it's kind of nice.
I find myself, whenever I see someone with a laptop open, I always try and have a sneaky peek just to see if they're running Plasma or not. I think I'm quite annoying at airports.
Oh, and for me it's like when I watch videos and they have some desktop or notebook showing, I'm always looking at what kind of environment it is, and quite often it's actually Plasma in that.
Okay, thank you guys very much.
Okay, so that was it.
That was really ace. That was absolutely brilliant. Those guys were, they were just cool. They were really cool and fun guys, and not really what I expected from, you know, a Plasma, from the developer of Plasma, and obviously Quinn, Kwin. awesome. And a really great interview as well, with some really good questions. Did you make those questions up yourself, or did you, or did you get have some help from Aaron or the community, or what?
Trello. We used Trello, and we still do, to organize everything we do in Kubuntu promotion, including a podcast. And we just set up a new card with checklists and added there the questions. We talked about them, and we just kept adding them, editing, removing, until we got a final layout of what questions we want to ask.
Now, the good news, of course, is that that was only one of a number of interviews that you guys managed to get yourselves organized around getting captured throughout the week at Academy. What else have we got to look forward to then, guys?
The other interviews?
Yeah.
So on about the other interviews, we have, let me check, an interview with Andrew Lake, and Aaron can tell us who that is.
Yeah, unmute your mic, Aaron, and come back and join the party, brother.
Andrew Lake and I don't know, I'm going to butcher Jen's last name, are both from the VDG group, VDG. So we wanted to highlight some of their work in Plasma 5.
We got
and then we have Matthias.
We had two Matthiases. One is Matthias Klump. And one is Matthias Krishner. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Matthias Klump is working on AppStream and Muon. Or Aaron, you understood this topic better than I did.
He's working on AppStream, and AppStream is basically a metadata, like how you go through Muon Discover or Ubuntu Software Center. You'd see the application, you see it has ratings, screenshots, reviews, images for the icon and such. That's basically what app metadata is for it, and then AppStream is a new backend, I believe, from my understanding, that Debian's going to be start using once Matthias Comps gets it finished and everything. And then eventually we will start using in Kubuntu for Muon Discover.
Cool.
And the other guy, the other Matthias was, he still is, Matthias Krishner. He's, I think, vice president of the Free Software Foundation Europe. I hope I'm not messing up his title. Sorry.
Okay, so, well, of course,
open source is, and how open source projects have their meaning, and gave us some advices. Also, we talked with Lydia Pincher. Lydia Pincher. I think I'm pronouncing it right. I'm not sure. She is the president of KDEV.
Okay.
The legal entity behind KDE. So whenever there's something legal to be done, KDEV is the organization that takes care of all that. And KDEV also takes care of financial issues for KDE projects and many other things, which Lydia explained in her interview. So all those will be done soon. And when they're done editing, we also want to put some overlay with their, some kind of lower third with their name and correct title.
Okay. So, well, maybe we could, so roughly how much time in total do we have in interviews, in interview time?
Each interview takes between 5 and 10 minutes, and we have 6 interviews.
Okay. So, well, I know you guys have, you've given me some access to that, and to some of the video stuff, and one of my...
there's one video missing for Matthias Krishner, which you can't see yet, because we did a small experiment and recorded that video in 4K. And that's a 5-minute interview that has 2.5 gigabytes. So after that experience, we said, okay, no more 4K. Sorry. After that, no more 4K.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. So the only way to share that is BitTorrent.
We can still put it on OwnCloud, and I'm going to reduce it quickly. But as soon as I can finish, well, right now I'm running some tests using my Raspberry Pi to clean up a hard drive, because I have no more space on my OwnCloud. I have 1 more gigabyte, 3 or something, so I have to clear up something on my OwnCloud.
Okay. So, well, the net result is that, guys, you know, for those of you who are watching this or listening to the podcast, we will be putting those interviews together and making them available. We'll discuss that as a team, as the podcast team offline, and figure out how we're going to get those to you, because obviously we've got a month now until our next live show. So during that month, follow us on our Google Plus and get in touch with us via the IRC channel. You can come and join us and chat to us in #Kubuntu-podcast on Freenode, and keep an eye on what we're doing, or come and join us on the mailing list, and we will get those videos out and published so that you guys can see them in short shift, just as soon as we can get those things done. So,
there are a few things that happened at Academy that we should at least mention if we're not going to talk about all of those.
We're going to get to the paddleboarding, aren't we? We won't miss that.
Yeah, I was hoping to leave that for last.
Well, we'll do that last, so let's save that till last. We'll save that to last.
Let's do the important stuff first. So
Aaron can dig out some pictures of the paddleboarding while he's there.
Jeez.
So, everybody using Kubuntu and Plasma, keep your eyes peeled. 5.4 is coming out soon, and it's going to be awesome. Many, many new things, awesome things are going to be in there. One thing which I'm going to mention is Baloo. If you know what Baloo is, it's the search thingy, which you open by Alt Space or Alt F2, which searches through everything you give it permission to. And it recently it gets a new UI that shows you some progress, a progress bar that represents how much of your things got indexed, which we didn't have before, and it's awesome right now. We're gonna have it. That's one thing. What else? Should we... Aaron?
Yes.
What other projects should we mention right now that there were talks and buffs about?
Speaking of Plasma 5.4, I think we have a new high contrast theme for people who have difficult seeing coming into 5.4. Ooh. From one of the VDG sessions.
That's good.
David held a lightning talk about, and he also had a buff about high DPI on Plasma, because most applications that are currently done, they don't calculate the pixel ratio, I think. They don't calculate it correctly, and he said that just a small snippet of code you have to change to calculate it correctly, and then everything works awesomely on high DPI.
Yeah, because, of course, the whole engine behind Plasma and all, everything that paints that workspace is all SVG-based, isn't it? It's all scalable vectors.
Yeah, mostly. Okay, what else? WikiFM, which has been renamed to WikiTutor, is a new... I don't know how to call it. It's MediaWiki combined... It's a media wiki, like, I don't know exactly how it's organized.
Media wiki in the back end.
Yeah, it uses media wiki in the back end, and it has some kind of plugins that organize content as a course. And we're going to use that for, it's now part of KDE, and also we're going to have on that KDE courses. There was a buff about making courses for KDE development, for Android, for desktop, for anything. And we plan to put those courses in there. What else?
That sounds really, really cool, actually. I think, so does that mean that, is WikiFM, is that like a web-based platform, or will you be able to install that via the Muon Discovery Center into your...
It's a web-based service that you use. I don't know exactly where and how is it hosted, or if any, or how you can get it to host it. I didn't really participate in all those at the BOF. But I know it's an awesome product that especially students can look into, and that's how they started the project, by keeping content they needed in class in a common place so they could all access it, and they kept updating it. That's how they started the project, and that's the best way to use it. So it's an awesome tool for students.
Excellent. that sounds really, really good, and I think I'm kind of very keen to see the either inbuilt or very, very easily accessible and recommended, almost like kind of the way Jockey recommends drivers in Kubuntu, some kind of recommended tutorial platform where you could put tutorials for Dolphin or for Kate or for things like that. I mean,
we already have those on user base right now, but probably they're gonna. That's more for courses. This is. I don't know. We're going to talk about that and see.
Sure.
Okay, some other things. We had a lot of talks about vision, the vision of the project, the vision of KDE. The talks on that were very, very long. Another thing, Shashlik is another an awesome tool that allows you to run Android applications on a Linux platform. That includes Plasma Mobile. That includes your desktop. So you can run Android applications on your desktop and on Plasma Mobile.
Oh, boy, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And that's called Shashlik?
Shashlik, S-H-A-S-H-L-I-K.
Okay, and we'll get something in the show notes about that.
Yeah. There was a talk about continuous integration. Okay. The group photo. What else was there? Krita. There were more talks about Krita. How the new Plasma and Queen work on Wayland, and how are they working with it? With that, sandboxing. Yeah, let's not forget about sandboxing. It's a new, well, newish project that some people are working on. I'm gonna mention here Daniel Vratil. He's working on it, but he's not the only one working on it. It's a way that you can run on your desktop applications sandboxed from the rest of the system. What's happening? Okay, that's very high. It's highly in development right now.
Sorry, I'm counting. Right, I'm not clicking anything. Whoever wants to switch that off,
hands up, everybody.
I'm trying to switch it off, and you're switching it on, and we're okay. Hands up.
And at the end of the talks, there were the Academy Awards, and some people received some awards for doing what they do and what they did awesome. That's for the talks and the buffs. Well, those are quite a lot. I'm not going to mention them now. There were many of them. So just go to the Academy website. You'll find the link to the buffs page there, and you can see what buffs took place and links to the wiki page of the notes for each buff.
Okay. So, Aaron, before we get into paddleboarding... have you got anything else to add about some of the things that went on at Academy? Anything else that we should let our viewers and listeners know about?
There are a lot of parties at Academy. Code hard, you party hard.
Yeah, most people, from what I understand, after each Academy, they need about a week to recover, because during the whole period of Academy, work during the day, party during the night. So continuously doing that. So when we get home, we need another holiday, just rest, recover.
Sounds absolutely awesome. So do we know yet where Academy 2016 is going to go and take place? And how people can find out about it.
There are only rumors so far, so I'm not going to say anything more about that.
Okay, but there is going to be an Academy 2016 then, is that? Or is that still a rumor too?
We hope so.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
You're one.
Okay, so we have 5 more minutes. Let's go into paddleboarding.
Oh yeah!
Get started on that.
Yeah, Kubuntu. The Kubuntu team in wetsuits. Oh yeah!
I'm gonna prepare some horrible pictures on my phone.
Jeez, does this? Okay, now I'm doing this.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Okay, so this is Jonathan, in his.
Wow! That's too fast, Aaron. Slow down.
That's Jonathan in his wetsuit, preparing.
We need you to present to everyone a video.
Oh, let me...
I've got that. I've got that for you. I've got that. Okay, there you go.
Thank you. Okay, so this is Jonathan Riddell, in a wetsuit, preparing to go paddleboarding.
He looks like he's been wrestling with that wetsuit. He looks tired now just from trying to get in it.
You don't want to see the pictures of us trying to get those wetsuits on. I'm not going to show you those pictures.
On the video of trying to get the dang wetsuit on.
This is when he was done. Okay. Here's Aaron.
Jeez.
Hey! Look at you!
That's more comfortable for me than a video, though.
Yeah, the first time I took it on backwards, and I had to take it off and take it on again. Oh, that was a pain. Here's Aaron with my brother, Raul. Oh, yeah, cool. Okay.
Yeah, cool.
And here I am.
There he is. Look at that. Yeah, it's that. That's a very masculine pose you've got going on there, over to you.
Yeah, except my belly.
Okay. Wait till you see me in a wetsuit.
I have a few more pictures of us on the water, which I'm going to show you in a moment.
Okay.
Jonathan has a Flickr account.
So, so you guys had good fun. Going out and doing some paddleboarding, and that must have been really good to get together and be in the same location and hang out and, you know, bond and work together and play together and have some fun. You know, was that your experience? Was it really quite a binding experience for developing the team?
Okay. Do you see this?
We'll do in a moment. Yeah, I do now, I think.
I don't think it's... All right, you can present it to everybody.
I got it. That's being presented to everybody. Yep.
No, I'm still presenting. Let me stop.
Oh, hold on. I've got
there.
It. Hang on. I'm going to present to everyone, but I will in a moment.
There.
No, I've stopped you again.
Okay, but you do.
My hands are up. I'm not touching. You okay, press
I'm
it with you.
I'm doing it.
All righty. Yeah, there we go. Wow, that looks... it's a bit cloudy that day.
Yeah.
We went a few, I don't know, 100 or so meters into the ocean, and then it started raining, and we kept paddleboarding in the rain. That's me.
Oh, yeah. The sea looks quite calm as well. It looks like you were...
Where we were then, yeah, it was.
That's a good picture.
This is a better one.
I just fell on that one.
You can get a better one.
Yeah, that's the best one. That's the best picture of me.
So the paddleboarding needs a bit of practice then, a video, yeah?
We have a video, I guess.
We have a few more photos and maybe videos that the instructors took of us, but we didn't get them yet. We're going to have to ping Jonathan for those.
Cool, cool.
Let me see what this does. What does this do?
Be quiet. That's the Kubuntu video.
I think. It doesn't play. Oh.
I can play it. I have it here ready.
I just played it.
Okay, that was fast.
I know. I thought it was longer than that.
No, just 3 seconds. So we stayed in the wetsuits there on the beach, and we all screamed, Kubuntu!
Good stuff. Well, guys, it sounds like you've had just a fantastic time and a wonderful week in Spain, and it sounds like just some amazing things got done, some really cool vision, some really cool direction and road mapping with some amazing features that are going to come into KDE and, of course, by default, of course, into Kubuntu afterwards. So it's been really, really good. Unfortunately, of course, we're out of time. Our hour is up.
Aaron, what do you have there?
I have our mascot, Katie mascot.
Hey, it's Conky. Woo, yeah. Where did you get that? Well, tell us about that then.
I got this at the Academy's little shop. They were selling t-shirts and, well, mostly t-shirts and our hats and this big guy.
So, of course, yeah, our viewers and followers will know that, of course, because we use the little Conky journalist with his camera and his microphone for the Kubuntu podcast. And I think we should maybe if we can be really good to get some T-shirts or something done with the little Conky guy on it, because he's just the coolest mascot.
Yeah,
We still have that offer with the Kubuntu, with the KDE Gears, for people who can find the a theme song or can compose a theme song for the Kubuntu podcast. We still have that running.
We do. Now, you're holding a print, a 3D printed KDE Gear,
yeah,
then.
Aaron managed to smuggle one for me.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. And has Aaron still got a KDE Gear?
Yes. Yeah. My big one.
Yeah, cool. So, well, Rick still hasn't built his 3D printer yet, but that is that looks like that's going to get underway in September.
My 3D printer. Here it is. That's it.
What is it?
A motor.
It just looks like the motor. Is that the first part?
Yeah, that this is the first part.
Oh, okay.
So is this like one of those
magazines? You get a 3D printer and it comes in a magazine, 500 parts.
Some circuits for experimenting. So this is the state of my 3D printer.
Cool. Very good. Yeah, okay. So, well, let's get into the outro section here then.
Okay.
And thank you for joining us. So, yes, we have got this competition running. We're going to keep that running probably towards late to later in the year for somebody to compose or choose or recommend some theme tune music that we can use for the podcast. Currently, we're using Fats Waller in the interim for the time being, but please do get in touch with us. Now, you can find out more about Kubuntu by visiting kubuntu.org, and you can join the Kubuntu team and get involved with all of the users and the community at irc.freenode.net. If you join the hash Kubuntu channel there, that'll take you directly to the community. If you want to interact with us, the Kubuntu podcast team, then you can do the same thing, irc.freenode.net/Kubuntu-podcast. We are generally always available in the IRC channel. Come and chat to us and some of the other developers that are there. Of course, follow us and the podcast team on Google+, Kubuntu Podcast. You can find out about us there. My guests joining me this evening are Aaron Honeycutt, and you can find out more about Aaron at twitter.com/athoneycutt. And, of course, Ovidiu Florin Bogodan. Did I get that right?
Good enough.
So, and you can find out more about Ovidiu at ovidiu.geekaliens.com. So I'm going to hand over these guys to say their outro. I just feel so much like I missed out something really, really good and special at Academy. So if it goes off in 2016, I'm going to do my very best to try and be there. It's been great spending time with you. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast. My name is Rick Timmis, and I'll see you soon.
So, Rick, if you still want to join, there's going to be a Rwanda meeting. You can still join in that one, where people will gather to do more KDE development. Okay, so I'm Ovidiu Florin Bogdan. See you soon.
I'm Aaron. See you next show, guys.